Be a baller. Welcome to Be a Baller podcast, where we discuss how to build a lifelong legacy. I'm your host, Coach Tim Brown. Today, we'll be talking about building a legacy in business with my good friend, Rick Hogan, who's general manager with Fleming Street Communications, WJUC 107.3, The Juice in Toledo, Ohio. Get all that in.
Before we get started, let's hear a word from our sponsor. Are you fed up with paying high shipping costs? Are you struggling to find a trucking company that can get your freight where it needs to go, safely and on time? If so, contact my friends at T&E Logistics. The team at T&E has over 20 years experience in the logistics industry and are experts at final mile delivery and freight brokering. If they can't fulfill your shipment with their fleet of over 20 trucks, they will find a carrier that will. Contact T&E today, get a free quote, and put your frustrations with shipping behind you. Their number is 614-706-2664 or visit them online at tndlogistics.com.
Today on the show, Rick will share his insight on building positive business relationships to create positive events, not just on the radio station, but throughout the community and to support the community as well. So, Rick, welcome to Be a Baller podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, my brother, Tim, man. Thank you so much for having me, man. And you have no idea how important this is, man, for me to be on your show, man. I've been thinking about this when you asked me. And I'm just delighted, man. So thank you so much for inviting me.
That's very great. Looking forward to the conversation. First off, let's talk about growing up. You know, you're in this music world. Where did you find your love of music come from?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, I'm the baby. I have three of us, my older brother and my older sister, but I'm the baby. And so growing up in the late 60s, having an older brother who's 5 years older than me, I didn't have any options as far as what I was supposed to listen to. It was all based on what he wanted to listen to and what my dad wanted to listen to. So I grew up listening to what my father and my brother, older brother Clyde, was doing. Yeah. And I grew up on Coltrane. I grew up on Nancy Wilson. Dave Brubeck, Take Five, all those great artists like that. That's what I grew up on. There's another one I like, a modern jazz quartet. So I have an extensive jazz background. My brother, he liked Ronnie Laws and all those old nice artists. Now later on, he turned into start listening to the Spinners and the Whispers and the Dramatics, and then maybe even closer to the mid 70s, he went through this funk stage of the Parlor. I was well rounded in my music genre, man, and that's what I listen to. And to this day, I listen to a lot of jazz and vocal jazz and stuff like that. I like artists like Phyllis Hyman and Joan Albright and those kind of artists. So, yeah.
Sound like you got it all. You know, as we were talking there, as you were sharing, I know you talk a lot about your dad. Can you talk about your relationship and some of the wisdom that your dad received from your dad?
Wow. Yeah. He was a very strong handed person in our family. And he was about business. He was about taking care of your business. And at an early age, I had to work. I remember at six, man, my job was to take out the garbage and dump all of the grass clippings from when he would cut the grass. That was my job. And so at an early age, he instilled that in all of us, my brother and my sister. But one of the things that I think he really instilled in is he used to tell us, you know, do what you got to do so you can do what you want to do.
Yes.
And that means, you know, put in the work, man. You got to, if you want something, then you got to put in the work for it. And that was just the type of person he was. He very loving, but very stern. And he's just, like I said, he's 86 years old. He's my best friend right now. He's my running buddy. Right. He's still dropping knowledge on me to this day at the ripe age of 86, man, every chance he gets.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Yeah. You and I met on the campus of Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, in the middle of nowhere. You know, how did a guy like you from Toledo end up at OU?
Well, it was actually, and for those who don't know, I'm best friends with your brother, Ken Brown. And I think we both kind of got the same journey as far as how we got here. And mine was based on my sister. I had a sister named Lynn. I have a sister named Lynn who came down to OU in 79. And so in 79, I came down for siblings weekend.
Right.
And had the best time of my life. And I knew right then that I wanted to be a Bobcat. I wanted to come down to OU and be around those people, some friends that I met, your brother, Ken Browns, J.D. Jones, a couple other good young brothers who were doing great things already down there. And I decided that this was the place for me, Ohio University, man. And to this day, best decision I ever made in my life.
That's good stuff. You know, when you graduated, I was reading that you began your career working with the Ohio Department of Youth Services. As activities therapist, how did that prepare you for the entertainment business?
Well, you know what, Tim, I tell you, working with the youth, I kind of slipped into that. I was a business marketing major. And so the only reason why I got the job is because I couldn't find a job in the area that I wanted to work in. And so I kind of fell into that, but it was a great fall because I was able to work with some young kids and pretty much try to guide them and direct them and help them with life skills. And so, I tell you another thing, what it does is it helps you to learn how to communicate with all types of people, all types of and when you're dealing with youth, they're so different, every last one of them. And so what it did was it made my communication skills flexible because I had to deal with all types of kids, man. And so you're talking about it. I worked there for 13 years and I probably came through 3,000 or 4,000 kids in my 13-year career there. And just being able to have a conversation with those guys, with some of those youth, just kind of build my my communication skills, man, and it built confidence in me to be able to talk to people and talk to kids. So that's how it helped me as far as my next job was in sales, you know, moving towards sales in the radio business. But I enjoyed working with those kids to this day. I catch a lot of those young kids that are now in their 30s and even 40s come up to me. Hey, Mr. Hogan, how you doing? And you really taught me some things, you know. So I'm pretty happy about some of the things that I've done with some of those youth. So yeah,
that's good stuff. All right, here, let's talk about the juice. Let's talk about the juice. You know, growing up, did you listen to the juice? Did you listen to 107.3?
No, I didn't, because here's a great thing, Tim. There was no juice.
Oh, wow.
There was no juice on the when I was a kid, there was a radio station called WKLR. And the ironic thing about it is our radio station, WJUC, was built from the ground up. We're the first radio station owned by African Americans who built from ground up. From the East Coast to the Midwest here, the first Black radio station to ever do it. Where we are, there are probably about 4,500 radio stations in the country, and there are probably out of those 4,500, there's only about 100 Black owned radio stations. So we're one of 100 remaining Black owned radio stations. And here's the crazy thing, Tim. Out of those 100, some of the black owned radio stations own maybe 10 or 12 or 20 of those 100, all under one roof. So it's not many of us, you know. Yeah. It's probably out of that 100, it might be 30 owners.
Wow. You know? I was reading that Mr. Welch, EJ Charlie Chuck, started the station in 1997. Can you share some of those stories he may have shared with you about those beginning years?
Oh, yeah. I was actually, let me say this to you. I am married. I'm married to his daughter. Okay. So I was around before the station even got started, and it took him 10 years. It took him 10 years to get that radio station for them to give him that station. He had petitioned for 10 years, going through driving up to Washington, D.C., going in front of the FCC, petitioning to get this radio station. And then in February 28th, 1997, they awarded him the radio station. And what happened was, me and our program director and Mr. Welch, we got the engineer to come out, and they hooked up a CD player, Tim, an 8 CD player. And we just sat out there for a whole week until our engineer could come in and build us a radio a studio. But we just fed it CDs whole week. There was nothing on that. There was nothing on 107.3 but dead air until we came on, which is something that normally doesn't happen. Mm. So, yeah, he worked hard to get that station. And I realized all of the trials and tribulations that he had to go through. And you know, no one wants to give a black man anything, to be honest with you. And he had to go through some things, man, to change people's minds, to say he was worthy and he had enough knowledge to run a radio station. And after getting a few people to back him up, they finally awarded him that radio station in February 1997. So just a great story. He's actually writing a book about it.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm sure there's some great lessons in that of determination and just not giving up. You said for 10 years, just going back and forth, you know.
10 years. Business. Yeah.
That's a great story in itself. You know, I know you were the sales manager for the station, and now you're the general manager. Can you talk about that transition, you know, from sales to now you are the guy now. Can you talk about that transition?
Well, again, going back to what I was telling you about as far as being able to communicate with people, I think that helped me out as a sales manager and managing a sales team. I've managed a couple hundred folks when I was a sales manager there. And it's one of those things, Tim, where I think you have to be a people person and you have to love to talk to people, and it's about relationships. And I think those are one of the things that I think that made me a pretty decent sales manager. I'm a people person. And I think when I talk to people, I give that sense of loyalty to people. And so that has helped me. It took a lot of hard work and it took a lot of persuading my sales team to figure out what not going to say persuading them, but persuading me to figure out what their best ways of selling was and managing them. You know, you can't manage everybody the same way. And that was one of the things that I had to learn. But in the process of learning that, I was able to really have a great sales team who really performed for us. So and then moving into the general manager position, I was able to get that position because Mr. Welch had retired, and he had been grooming me for about 5 years to take his position, which position that I wanted bad. The difference with being a sales manager and a general manager is I'm responsible for everything. You know, at first I was just responsible for the sales and the sales team. But I as I tell folks, I'm the janitor, I'm the GM. I'm the sales manager as well. I'm all the above. And you just got to know a lot about everything. And so I enjoy it. It's a tough job, but like I said, I enjoy doing it.
You know, you talked a little bit about that passing the torch. Mr. Welch kind of passed that on to you. So as we talk about this podcast about legacy, what would you say the legacy of Mr. Welch has built? And now that next generation, you being able to add to that, what's the legacy that's been built?
Wow. That, you know, he used to say this to us all the time, Tim. He says, the most important thing is his name, you know, Charles Welch. He wants, and I can truly say that there is, I don't believe there's one person in Toledo, Ohio, that would have a bad word to say about Mr. Welch. Mm-hmm. His legacy will go down as a person who put other people ahead of himself. He helped everybody. I was sitting here going over some notes before we had our interview here, and I was looking at all the things that he had done, how many times he had raised money for organizations in Toledo, Ohio. You know, somebody, a young lady got injured, and she had to have surgery, and she needed over $100,000 worth of medical bills that she had to. Mr. Welch went out and over a whole week raised like $60,000, for this young lady. Our credit union here was just starting out. You know, he would take this radio station and use it to help build other businesses and help take care of other people here. And I think when it's all said and done, he will be that person that everybody knows that you could always count on. You could always go to. I always told him, I said, man, you're not a lawyer, man, or you know, everybody would come to ask him questions, you know, or a doctor. Hey, what do you think I should do? I was like, look, you're an owner of a radio station. He said, but you know what? When you are a person in the community, in the public eye, people come to you.
Yes.
So you have to, you're either going to take the challenge. And I want to say it's a saying about what is much is given is what's the saying?
Much is required. Much is required.
Right. You know.
Yeah, the much is given.
And God gave him this radio station, mm-hmm. and so he was charged to be a blessing and to service this community, and I think he has done that.
Yeah, that leads into our next question. I know I kind of alluded to it a little bit there. I know Mr. Welch and the Jews has always been the forefront of helping the community and also not only just giving, but educating them on issues, you know, that affect our community. Why is that so important as part of the mission of the stadium?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, Tim. This is one of my sayings. What you don't know, you don't know. There's a lot of things that people just don't know. And so I think it's important for our station. We have over 48,000 listeners. That's a serious situation here. That is something that is serious. When you have the opportunity to speak to that many people, it is your job to help, to guide, to inform, to educate, all the above. And so When we talk about, we just had this situation with issue. The issue one was it issue one.
Issue one.
Right. You know, that is something. That issue was something that I felt personally that everybody was trying to be quiet about. That no one really wanted our listeners, people of color, to get out and vote. You know, they said, well, we could just get this and we could just slide this through. This thing might pass. And then we can do then they can do what they want to do. And so I felt it was important for us to be able to get on the air, talk to our listeners and explain it in detail so that they could get out and make an informative decision on what how they wanted to vote, you know? And so another thing is that I also feel like it is so important to inform our listeners on a local level. You know, everybody's excited about voting when it's time to vote for a president. But when you get an opportunity to vote for people on a local level, that's when it affects you personally. And I think that it's important for us to use this platform that we have to inform our listeners on that person who's running. What is he? How does that person? How does he think? What is he? What is his intentions as far as the community is concerned? And so, that's our job here, is to be a platform for to give out information, also for our listening audience to receive information. And that's what we've been doing since we cracked the mic in February of 97. Mr. Welch, he said, if there's one thing that I want you guys to do, never sell the radio station. He said, because if it's not Black owned or person of color, he said, you will never have a voice for your community. This is one thing that they just can't put their hands on. And so this is our opportunity to have a voice in which we can affect our community and be able to hear with open ears. And so that's one thing he has in his family, is to tell them, is like, look, no matter what happens, we will never, ever be able to sell this radio station. It has to stay in the family, or at least Black owned.
Yes.
So, but yeah, it is. It's just important for us to use this platform, Tim, to educate our listeners, man. And again, once you know the saying of what you don't know what you don't know, but once you know, then you're responsible.
Yes.
You're responsible to make decisions that are hopefully that are positive. So, yeah,
that's good. It's good. You know, you guys have the Juice has a reputation as a hometown station. Can you tell all this about some of the partnerships and some of the community projects that you guys are involved in? I know it's extensive. I was looking at it. I'm going to let you tell the audience, you know, some of the stuff you guys have.
Well, I tell you, one of the big partnerships that we have is with the organization called the African American Legacy Project. And it's basically a museum that is geared towards the people in Toledo, pretty much. And it is a museum that is an awesome museum. What it does is it depicts all of the history of sports, some of the doctors, lawyers, you name it, that have come through Toledo. And we have been one of the African Americans Legacy Project's biggest advocates to help them try to retrieve and get as much information as they can. The second project that I'm working on right now is a project called the Door Street Corridor. And it is a street here in Toledo, Ohio. It's almost like, and I think every city probably has a street in their community where at one particular time it was the majority of the people who maximized that street area were people of color. Almost like your we call it our Wall Street.
Right.
And so and this has probably happened as well. I call it urban removal, where we came in and removed all these Black-owned businesses in this particular area called Door Street. So what I'm doing, I'm a member of this committee who are trying to document all the Black-owned businesses that were there during that time between 1960 all the way up until about 1985.
Mm.
When this particular area, part of Toledo, was vibrant. And so I am working with community leaders and as well as the African American Legacy Project to interview individuals to tell their story of their memory of this particular street and some of the businesses that they remember, some of the people who live there. You know, we're even documenting. So say, for instance, my dad, who's 86, we interviewed my dad. My dad has memories of when he was 5 or 6 years old and what it looked like to him. Yes. And I might look a little different to someone else that's maybe a little older, a little younger than him. But we're interviewing individuals like that so they can tell their story. And the goal is that we will be able to document all this information so that our young folks can yes. come in and listen and learn. You don't know where you're going unless you know where you come from. And we have to show these young folks and give and it's almost to a point where they have to hear it and they have to see it. There's so many young entrepreneurs out there, but they still got to understand that there were a lot of black owned businesses in Toledo that were running that were successful, you know. And so that's what we're trying to do is document that. And hopefully I don't know if this is an ongoing project that you continue to get information, document information, and it'll still be going on when I'm long gone from here.
So much history. Yeah.
So much history, man. It's so important. And I get to the point where I just love sitting down listening to stories, man. And it's almost like a book that's being read right in front of you when you listen to these older folks tell their story about their neighbor and who lived next door, and they own the shoe shop down the corner, and Miss Johnson owned the fruit market on the corner here, and we all live together, and you know, and I think when I hear these stories, Tim, it just seems like a lot of people living together didn't know that, and I'm not going to say they were poor, but I don't think they were rich, but I don't even think they knew that they were poor. You know, I think they were existing amongst each other. They were supporting each other. They were there were services in the community, and everybody in that's how they lived, you know. Yeah. And then urban removal came in and took all of those businesses out of there. And then what happened was now you have to drive out to the suburbs to get a loaf of bread or you know. And so again, like I said, that's what we're doing with this particular project that we're working is we're documenting as much information from individuals so that we can give an opportunity so these folks can listen to this and hear these stories. So
I think the thing that we were rich in, we're rich in love, we're rich in community, we're rich in sharing. I mean, we just had it all right there, you know. And it's coming. It's the next generation is coming through to revitalize that, you know. We're getting it back. It's coming. Just got to share the story with them, you know. I want to thank you guys because you from Toledo, you gave us our mayor. Mayor Michael Coleman is from Toledo. I had him on the show, the former mayor of Columbus, and he loves Toledo now. Yeah.
Yeah. Mike's a very good friend of mine. I watched him grow up and I know his family very well.
Yeah. Yeah. He loves some Toledo now. He loves some Toledo. You know, as we round the corner here, what words of wisdom would you give young people as they pursue, you know, this music industry and business? Everybody wants to be a rapper. Everybody wants to be a TikTok sensation. Everybody wants to, you know, what words of wisdom? Because you've seen it, you know, in your decades of being in this business,
you know. You know what, Tim? I tell you, the internet has changed the game.
Yeah, okay.
It has changed the game, and you know, back in when we first started this this company, we our main thing was just selling airtime.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is airtime. It is social media. It is how many people come to your website. I mean, it's just it's a variety of different things, and so. There are so many other ways for people to get their music out nowadays, other than just calling the radio station and asking them to play your music. There's so many other ways. And I think these young folks have figured it out that you can get your music out on social media. But I will say this here. It's good that they can do that, but it still is nothing better than being able to get your music played to my 48,000 listeners.
All right, now.
You know, I mean, everybody, you have your, and it's not as easy as it used to be because now you have syndicated shows. So that means that you can't, if Steve Harvey is in Cleveland, you can't just call Steve Harvey in Cleveland or stop by the station in Cleveland.
Right. Right.
So and the chances of you getting a hold of Steve to try to get your music played is little to none.
Mm-hmm.
But in Toledo,
right now,
you could drop your CD off here in Toledo and I can give it to my music director and myself. And we can listen to your music and determine whether or not we want to play it or not, whether or not it's radio ready to play, you know. Right. So I still believe that we are the way to go as far as these new young folks that want to have music out there, want to get it played. But it's a tough business, man. And you gotta keep at it, you gotta stay at it. And even when it seems like it's not working, you still gotta stay with it because if it means that much to you and if it's something that you really want to do, then don't stop. Figure out another way, you know. Like I said, it's a tough business. Yeah. Everybody has a CD out.
Oh yeah.
Everybody. Look, I'll tell you this here. I was gonna show you a stack of CDs that I have from people who have dropped CDs that, you know, or sent me stuff. That was back in the day, but now they send them MP3s and whatnot. But I had a stack of CDs, man, where people would come in and drop their CDs off, you know. So it's a tough thing, but I'll say this to you. Never give up. Man. Don't give up on your dreams, man. Right. You know, because here's the thing, man. You start giving up on your dreams, man, and then you start falling, man. And it's hard to get up when you fall, man. Right. So stick with it. Never give up, man. And something will happen. God will open up doors for you, man. It might not even be. I'll give you an example. It's a young lady who she wanted to be an artist, perform and everything. And she just having a hard time. But what she found out in the journey was that she's a good writer. And so she can write music. So she's got in the process of going through of trying to get her own stuff out there to sing. She's got some artists want to come and buy her music.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you just never know what God has plans for you, what the plans are for you. You just got to stick with what you believe. And then he'll make a way for you somehow.
That's good. That's good talk. Well, this brings us to the end of this episode. I've really been enjoying this conversation. I was thinking, I was kind of chuckling when you're talking about all those CDs people had dropped to you. You guys come a mighty long way from that parking lot, sitting out in that parking lot, you know, putting tracks out. Okay. You done came a mighty long way, brother, from that parking lot.
Yes.
Look at you now. That's a true testament in the wisdom that you're sharing. You know, it took, like you say, your father-in-law 10 years of going back and forth to D.C., you know, because he believed in. I have this thing I call the MVP. And MVP stands for not most valuable player, but my vision plan. You know, because if it's your vision, it's going to happen. You know, you just got to keep, you can't give up on it. You got to keep plugging away. So I want to thank you for joining me for this enlightening conversation about your experience, sharing your experience in business, and most importantly, your heart you guys have for the community, and specifically the Black community of Toledo, African-American community, and being that one thing they can count. You know, they can turn on, nothing else, they can turn on the juice, you know, and get something every day. So I appreciate that. So I want to thank the audience for joining us for this enlightening and informed discussion on building a legacy in business. Hope this episode was beneficial to you. And as always, thanks for listening to Be a Baller podcast. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate your time.
If you enjoy our show, please share this podcast with your family and friends. Be a Baller podcast is available on all major podcast stations.
Be sure to come back next week as we continue to discuss on how to build a lifelong legacy. Until then, don't forget to be a baller. This podcast was created by Coach Tim Brown. It was edited by Teron Howell and produced and recorded by the video production class of Worthington Christian High School.